This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Things are good, things are good. No questions from anybody, just something on my mind. Something that's been on my mind for a long time. Something that we have a big problem with all over the Muslim world. I thought it was like a desi thing. Yeah. It's not. It's all over the Muslim world. It's hitting women, dude. And justifying it from Quran. Because you know the ayah says, wadribuhunna, and hit them. Yeah. And so using that to say, well, you're obviously allowed to hit women. And when I started looking up this subject, I wasn't satisfied with stuff that I read. It just didn't add up. So I decided to keep on digging. Until a couple of years ago, I went to, I still remember, Professor Abdul Halim in Oxford. And I sat with him and I took my Quran questions to him. And this was one of them. Help me understand this ayah. Right? And I want to tell you, I want to share with you what I learned from him and my own thoughts on it. But before I do, you know, most of the time when we talk about this ayah, we're like explaining this to non-Muslims.
Yeah.
Which is so ingenuine, dude. We need to have a conversation about this with Muslims. Yeah. This is our faith. This is our book. This is what we believe. I believe every single ayah is perfect. Every single ayah could not be any better than it is. It's the most beautiful gift of Allah on this earth. No ayat should be considered a curse. No ayat should be considered negative or, you know, why is that here?
Yeah.
Because if you even question, why is this here? You're questioning the idea of Allah revealing Himself. Like the idea of Allah sending revelation, the greatest gift ever given. Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Qur'an. The unimaginably merciful is the one who taught the Qur'an. Like, even if you question or you think less of one ayah, what good is your iman? Where to go? So protecting the integrity of this ayah to me is like fundamental. Because if, you know, and Muslim women, many Muslim women I've met have a problem with this ayah. And their concern is legitimate. But to have a problem with an ayah and you're Muslim, there needs to be something resolved here. Because you can have, I have a problem understanding this ayah. Which is a little bit different from, actually no, it's a world different from, I have a problem with this ayah. You know, that's a crime. That's just, I mean, that's about faith itself, you know?
But how does one understand it?
That's the thing, right? Let's help people understand it. So first and foremost, every surah is perfect. No, you cannot take an ayah out of a surah, put it in a different surah. That's the first thing, right? So this belongs to Suratul Nisa. This means it does not belong in Suratul Ma'idah or Tawbah or Baqarah. It belongs in Suratul Nisa. Mm-hmm. And Suratul Nisa is a perfect conversation orchestrated by Allah, intended as such. In other words, the first thing when we understand an ayah is which surah is it placed in, what conversation is it a part of. Mm-hmm. So Suratul Nisa has a number of legal instructions. It talks about another big subject for a lot of people, polygamy. Mm-hmm. It talks about inheritance law. It talks about the punishment of adultery. Mm-hmm. It talks the early punishments for adultery, at least. It talks about exceptional cases. It talks about who is it haram for you to marry. Now, you know what all of those things have in common? Every one of them, when Allah talks about them, He talks about the most unusual cases. That's the common thread that ties all of these together. The most unusual cases. First unusual case, if you were raising four girls as orphans, mm-hmm. and they gained a certain age, and they're not your mahram, they're not part of your family, you're allowed to marry one of them, or two of them, or three of them, or whatever. Is that a usual case? Somebody raising four orphan girls? Or even polygamy, when it's talked about, which is a separate subject, it's talked about in the most unusual circumstance. Mm. You see what I'm saying? Even more unusual, like it's uncomfortable even to listen. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَخَالَاتُكُمْ. Your mothers are haram for you to marry. Your aunts, your daughters are haram for you to marry. Your aunts are. Why would Allah say that? He's not talking about normal circumstances. He's talking about psychologically disturbed, weird people out there. Some crazy case can happen, so this needs to be spelled out. See, the thing with law is not for law-abiding citizens. Actually, laws are for criminals. They cover the periphery of society, not the main center of society. That's what Suratul Nisa is doing. It's actually covering the outlying crazy case situations, here's what you're going to do. Now you know how to deal with these extreme situations, which automatically covers all the normal situations, right? If you keep that in mind, then you get to this ayah. And even that hit them is part of a very long ayah, which begins with men are caretakers of women. Now tell me, caretaker, qawwam. The same word shares a root with the name of Allah, Qayyum. Allah is the caretaker of everything. Do you imagine Allah is caretaker hitting? Striking?
No.
Is that part of His care? No. That's not the thought that comes in your mind when you think of taking care. It's already being negated as the ayah begins. And what are the authority in what sense? قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Because Allah gave some preference over others. Allah did not say because Allah gave men preference over women. He could have said that. It's His words. He could have said بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الرِّجَالَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ أو بِمَا فَضَّلَهُمُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِنَّ. He could have said it. Yeah. Because Allah preferred men over. He said because Allah gave some preferences to some over others. In other words, women have certain things they have preference in. So Allah gave them certain benefits, and men were given certain benefits. And in this case, men have been given the responsibility of maintaining women. Okay, fine. وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And because of what they spend from their money. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ. Then good women are subservient to Allah. I'm adding to Allah because that's what qunut is used in the Quran. It's not subservient to their husbands. It's qunut everywhere in the Quran, like dua al qunut, qanitin, qumu lillahi qanitin, is every time it's used for Allah. How are you going to say now it's being used for husbands? Good women are subservient to Allah. Hafizatun lil ghaib, guarding, they're guardians of what is in the unseen, meaning they guard their dignity and they guard their faith even when their husband's not around. Hafizatun lil ghaib, that's one of the meanings. There are other meanings too. Bima hafizullah, on account of what Allah decided that should be guarded. Then he says, now, by the way, so far, they're obedient to Allah, and they guard the chastity of the marriage, and their own chastity, they guard the integrity, they don't cheat on their husbands, basically. Okay? Now he says, وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. And as for those from whom you are afraid of their uprising. That's the next part. Now, I asked Professor Abdul Halim, what is this uprising? Because this uprising is used later on in the surah when a man is abusive to his wife. So a man potentially hitting his wife or hurting her or going against her in some aggressive way, that's also nushuz. Okay? وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا. If a woman was afraid from her husband of an uprising, meaning some kind of outrageous behavior. The question though is, what is outrageous behavior for women? Now some people say outrageous behavior for women is, I asked her to put 2 spoons of chai, she put 3. Idrazra. That's nushuz, Quran says, that's an uprising. Or she raised her voice. So I asked Professor Abdul Halim, what is nushuz? And he's like, you know the ayah? It has a contrast. Here are good women, and here are women that have an uprising. Which means they do the opposite of what good women do. Good women are subservient to Allah. This woman has now started defying Allah. Good women are loyal to their husbands. This woman is now what? Cheating on her husband. And the husband says, Allah says to the husband, if you're afraid that she's doing this, not that she is doing it, but you're afraid that she's doing it. So he hasn't done it yet, but he's developing a fear and it's getting bigger and bigger. And وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ as opposed to خِفْتُمْ. Not you were afraid, but you continue to be afraid. In other words, he's getting suspicious, and he's getting more suspicious, he's getting more suspicious. It's lingering, he notices things about her, that he's like, what's going on here? And so he said, Allah says, فَعِظُوهُنَّ, then give them advice. Listen, I something's happening. Why are you going out late at night with makeup on? Or what's going on? Tell me what's going on, I need to know. Try to counsel them. Doesn't work. You tried it regularly, didn't work. وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ. Leave the bed. Abandon them. Fil madaji'a, in the beds. Don't sleep with them. You're disgusted by what you know is, the fear is growing. You haven't seen anything, but the fear is growing. It's gotten really, really bad. Now it gets to the worst case. The worst case is she's actually caught. She, he sees her with another man. Something crazy. And he sees this, and he loses his mind. And what does he do? He hits it. By the way, let's take Muslim out of this. Some dude, not even married, with his girlfriend, he sees another man. What'd you do?
Yeah.
Is that a natural reaction? Well, a girl would do it, a guy would do it.
Yeah, snaps.
You snap. Now he hit her, or he pushed her, something he did, and he feels bad.
Yeah.
How could I have done that? Allah says, I'm giving you license in that crazy case. I'll let you get away with that one. At the, you know, if you look at the, and I, by the way, when I discussed this, I discussed Professor Abdul Halim, right? Yeah. Remarkable Quran scholar. He's the one sharing this with me, and I'm like, whoa, I ain't never heard that before. Yeah. So that night, I had dinner with a bunch of scholars, traditional scholars. I'm not going to name them. I don't want to blast anybody. And I was the only kind of like, you know, dressed like a kafir kind of, you know, and they're all traditionally dressed, ulama. And so I was like, let's stir up some trouble around here. So I was studying the ayah about hitting women with Professor Abdul Halim this morning. And they're like, really? What did he say? And I shared this with them. And this is actually only, it's restricted only to a case of repeated and like perpetual infidelity from a wife, and it drives the man nuts, and then he finally eventually ended up losing his cool. And Allah says, people get killed over this sort of thing, by the way. And by the way, hitting, then comes the sunnah. How much can you hit? How can you hit? The Prophet ﷺ, the sunnah will dictate that you can't actually hit hard ever. You can't ever, you know, hit in a way that even the skin would turn red. And like tap or whatever, that's a separate problem. But this is restricted to the craziest case. It's not the norm. This is not the norm. So I said that. That is not the norm. That is the exception. And to use that as a norm is a crime against the Quran.
How'd it go?
I'm expecting like fireworks. Yeah. The senior guy among them, you know what he says? Makes sense. We believe that too.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, no. You do? He goes, of course. I was like, why don't you ever say it? I literally just called him out. Like, I couldn't help myself. Like, why is this the first time I'm learning this?
Yeah.
And he says, you know, people aren't mature enough to learn these things yet. And they won't be able to... People might take advantage of it. And I was like,
seems like
that is disturbing, Sheikh man. That your job is to clarify the religion for people.
Yeah.
And now you're going to decide what's in their best interest and keep. It's just messed up. But there are other interpretations. Now don't even hit them. Just go away from them.
Yeah.
I'm not as convinced of them from linguistics perspective. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But from the context. Now here's the thing. فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ If they start obeying you. The question is, if you think your wife is cheating on you, why don't you just leave her?
Yeah.
Because ayat in the Quran are there. If you think she's, you know, you can accuse her. You can do. Now, if you accuse in a Muslim society, then you're going to accuse and they're going to go to court and the entire family will be humiliated and she might even be executed, whatever.
Yeah.
Proceedings are going to happen. And if she doesn't want to admit to it, she'll have to declare that Allah's curse should be on her if she's lying. Mm-hmm. Do you hate her that much that you want Allah's curse to be on her forever? And maybe there are kids involved. There's other family involved. There are emotions involved. Maybe you don't want to leave her. Maybe you want to move on from this incident. So he says, if they start obeying you, then don't make a case against them again. فَإِنَّ طَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا
Start over.
Don't bring it up again. Move on. If you're gonna move on, then you better move on.
Wow.
Don't ever bring it up again. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا Allah is the ultimately high. Why did Allah say it? In this ayah, why did He say He's the ultimately high? Because Allah did not give you the height. He's the ultimately high. He's the big one. He's Kabir, not you. He put the man in his place at the end of this ayah. Now, from the context, this ayah is actually not about hitting women at all. It's about protecting the fidelity and the loyalty inside a marriage. That's what it's about. And what a man is afraid of that's happening. By the way, why use the word fear? If somebody says, I'm afraid of the uprising of my wife, fear, by the way, is she put too much shy? So scared.
Yeah.
It's not something you're scared of. That's something you're mad about.
Yeah. It's an inconvenience.
But if a husband thinks his wife is cheating, is he scared?
Yeah.
Yeah. The word fear, in any other interpretation, doesn't add up. How are you afraid that she leaves the bathroom door open? How are you afraid that she raises her voice? That has nothing to do with fear.
Yeah, that's actually a position of power.
That's a position of power. And the position of power has been taken away at the end. Can you imagine how much abuse of Allah's word is being done in His name? And then look, it began with qawamun, right? Yeah. Caretakers, which already tells you, why would you hit someone when you're their caretaker? And then ayat right after? Oh, wa'budu Allah wa bil walidaini ihsanan wa bidhil qurba wal jari dhil qurba wal jari dhil jari. Oh, what? Be the best to your parents, be the best to close relatives, be the best to your neighbors, be the best to people you live next door to, your next door neighbors, and also the people you commute next to. وَصَاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. The one who's sitting next to you on a plane or on a bus or on a camel, or be nice to, be the best to them. Okay, be the best to everyone else, just smack around your wife, huh? What? I don't even understand how they can. You know, this kind of abuse is something Allah talks about in the Quran. الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِظِينَ. They took the Quran and they tore it to pieces. They tear this piece out, hit them. They tear that piece out and the rest of the speech doesn't even matter to them. And that's the crime they commit. SubhanAllah.
Because I think it's self-serving. Sometimes
that's exactly
it's
right.
Such a big problem that
if you're going to hit people, you've got an issue. Don't drag the religion into it.
Yeah.
That's your psychological trauma. You've got a serious problem. You need psychiatric help. Yeah. And if women are being hit, they better seek protection. They better seek counsel, share it with someone, as embarrassing as it is. Because when there's physical abuse, what comes with it is psychological abuse. So the guy will make her feel like scum. He'll make her feel like she deserves it.
Mm.
You know, she'll start thinking she deserves it. They're so beat sometimes, they actually think they deserve it. It's good for them. That's the height of psychological abuse and trauma, right? And those kinds of women, they need to, if a woman finds herself in that situation, she needs to get help. She needs to get family involved. I don't want to tell you, I don't want to disturb my parents. Yes, you do. Go disturb your parents. Your mother bore a lot heavier than this. She gave you birth. She almost died. So if you're worried about bothering your mom, she's already been bothered way more than you can ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Go tell your mom. Tell someone, you know. Help deal with it as a family. If not, just at least go to a professional, you know? Somebody outside. But this should not go unanswered. And nobody should ever think nobody else cares. Because that's what the abuser does.
Yeah.
Abusers, as they abuse you, they tell you, who's going to care about you?
Yeah.
Who cares about you? You know?
Yeah.
I'm doing you a favor. That's how they frame it. And they just develop this unfortunate, like, mindset that keeps them imprisoned, not only in that relationship, but even in their mind, they're imprisoned. And that needs to be just broken.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah.
And what do you say about some people who say the context of how the word فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا, like how the word
yeah.
is used in the Quran, isn't necessary, is used in different ways as well?
It is used in different ways. Like, you know, I didn't want to get technical about it, but the way that it's used in this ayah, وَضْرِبُهُنَّ, there's no preposition with it. And there's nothing that indicates that it's being used figuratively.
Okay.
You know? So, to me, that's a stretch. From a language perspective, that's a pretty big stretch. And I have an exhausted study in classical scholarship. I don't know if anybody even went that route, but I know that opinion does exist. So I do respect it as an opinion. I'm not as convinced of it. You know? SubhanAllah. But, you know, look at it. From the harshest interpretation could be that this is in the case of infidelity. And the softest interpretation could be this is about walking away from the relationship.
Mm.
You know? Those are the two. And there's no other range. So in the ayah, this is an ayah of practicality and something we're supposed to love. SubhanAllah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla help the Muslims get out of abuse, whether or not they're being abused or whether they're the abusers themselves. SubhanAllah. Barakallahu alaykum. See you next time, inshallah.